Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim Daf Ayin Gimel, the sixth parak Eil Dvarim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Huna Bar Chinina said to his son that when he goes before Rabbi Zrika, he should ask the following question: according to the one who says Makalka B'Chabura Pater, one who acts destructively on Shabbos is Pater, how can the Mishnah rule Shchatu Shalochav Chayev Matikain? One who shucks a Pesach on Shabbos for those who cannot eat it is Chayev. Well, what improvement did he effect? This is a purely destructive act, which he should not be chai for, according to this opinion. The Gemara answered, Tiken im alu liyerdu. He improved the animal insofar that once its emurim have gone up onto the mizbeach, they should not go down. Therefore, the shechita has served a constructive purpose. Point number two, when the owner of an asham dies or attains kapora through another asham, the asham is sent out to pasture to develop a mum, a blemish, upon which it's sold, and its proceeds are used to purchase olos, which should be offered when there are no communal or individual karbanos, and the mizbeach is idle. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Asham shenitek l'riya, if an asham had been consigned to grazing, ushchato stam kashul ola, and then someone shechted it before it had developed a blemish, with no specific intention, it is kasher as an ola. Now the Gemara asks that since we see that Rav holds lo boy akira, that an offering's designation does not require a conscious akira. Rather, its designation changes automatically, as Rashi explains that since it now stands to be used for the purposes of an ola, there's no need to eliminate its previous status of an asham. Then even if the animal had not yet been consigned to grazing, it should be valid as an ola. The Gemara answers, Gezer l'achar kapara atu lifnei kapara. It's a derabbanan gezer, that if an asham is shechted after the owner has received kapara, but before it's consigned to grazing, it's not fitted as an ola, because otherwise people might think it can be offered as an ola even before the owner received kapara. And point number three, Rav Chisid challenged Rav's view that a carbon doesn't require akira based on the mission that states that if one shechted the Pesach on Shabbos and then it became known that the owners had withdrawn from it, he's not chayv to bring a chatas for being mechal Shabbos. And a brisa was taught in reference to the Mishnah that if there was a case like that on a weekday, yisaref miyad, the animal should be burned immediately. Now Rav Chisid said that this didn't make sense if you say that an offering's designation requires a kira and that it does not change automatically. So in this case, the carbon's still a Pesach, and since it has no owners, psula begufo, its disqualification is in the offering itself, and that's why it requires immediate burning. But if you say that a carbon does not require akira, then at the moment the owners withdrew, it was a shlamim. And the reason for its disqualification is because of an external factor that it was shechted after the tamid shel bein arba'im. If that is the case, the carbon requires a change of appearance, meaning time should pass so the meat looks different as a result from losing its moisture. The Gemara will bring a number of attempts to resolve the contradiction between Rav and the Braisa. So once again, point number one, Rav Huna Bar Chinina said to his son that when he goes before Rabbi Zrika, he should ask the following question, according to the one who says, Makalka b'chabura pater, one who acts destructively on Shabbos is pater, how can the Mishnah rule, Shchatu shulochav chayev, matikeng, one who checks a Pesach on Shabbos for those who cannot eat it, is chayev, well, what improvement did he effect? This is purely a destructive act, which he should not be chayev for, according to this opinion. The Gemara answers, Tiken im alu lo yerdu. He improved the animal insofar that once its emurim have gone up onto the mizbeach, they should not go down. Therefore, the shechita has served a constructive purpose. Point number two, when the owner of an asham dies or attains kapara through another asham, the asham is sent out to pasture to develop a mum, a blemish upon which it's sold, and its proceeds are used to purchase olos, which are to be offered when there are no communal or individual karbanos, and the mizbeach is idle. Now, Rav Huna said, in the name of Rav, Asham shenitek riya, if an asham had been consigned to grazing, ushchatu stam kashu ola, and then someone shechted it before it had developed a blemish, with no specific intention, it is kasher as an ola. So the Gemara asks that since we see that Rav holds lo boy akira, that an offering's designation does not require a conscious akira, rather its designation changes automatically, as Rashi explains that since it now stands to be used for the purposes of an ola, there's no need to eliminate its previous status of an asham, then even if the animal had not yet been consigned to grazing, it should be valid as an ola. So the Gemara answers, Gezer l'achar kapara atu lifnei kapara. It's a derabbanan gezer, that if an asham is shechted after the owner has received kapara, but before it's consigned to grazing, it's not fit as an ola, because otherwise, people might think it can be offered as an ola even before the owner received kapara. And point number three, Rav Chisid challenged Rav's view that a carbon doesn't require a kira based on the Mishnah that states that if one shechted the Pesach on Shabbos and then it became known that the owners had withdrawn from it, he's not liable to bring a chatas for being mechal Shabbos. And a braisa was taught in reference to the Mishnah that if there was a case like that on a weekday, yisarif miyad, the animal should be burned immediately. Now Rav Chissa said that this didn't make sense if you say that an offering's designation requires a kira, and that it does not change automatically. And so in this case, the carbon is still a Pesach, and since it has no owners, psul begufo, its disqualification is in the offering itself, and that is why it requires immediate burning. But if you say the carbon does not require a kira, then at the moment the owners withdrew, it was a shlamim. And the reason for its disqualification is because of an external factor, that it was shechted after the time shalbein or bayim. If that's the case, the carbon requires a change of appearance, meaning they need to let time pass so the meat looks different as a result from losing its moisture. The Gemara will bring a number of attempts to resolve the contradiction between Rav and the Braisa. All right, so now we go to Simfer Daf Ayin Gimel, and this one comes to us by way of Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona, who suggested Ayin Gimel is not just an egg, it's a giant ostrich egg. A giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the Emurim of Shechted Pesach with no eaters brought on the Mizbeach. While grazing Hashem on its way to be offered up as an Ola, saw the meat of an onerous Pesach being burned up immediately. Once again, in slow motion. The destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs. Giant ostrich eggs? That must mean we're on Duff. Ayin Gimel. The destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the Emurim of a Shechted Pesach with no eaters brought on the Mizbech, which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Chinina said to his son that when he goes before Rabbi Zirikai, he should ask the following question. According to the one who says, Mekalka b'chabura pater, one who acts destructively on Shabbos is pater, how can the Mishnah rule Shchatu Shulolochav chayv? Matik, and one who shechs a Pesach on Shabbos for those who cannot eat is chayv, what improvement did he effect? This is a purely destructive act which he should not be chayv for, according to this opinion. So the Gemara answered, Tikkun im alav yerdu. He improved the animal insofar that once its Emurim have gone up onto the Mizbeach, they should not go down. Therefore, the Shechita has served a constructive purpose. So the destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the Emurim of Shechted Pesach with no eaters brought on the Mizbeach. While grazing Hashem on its way to be offered up as an Ola, which reminds us, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that if an Hashem had been consigned to grazing and then someone shechted it before it had been developed a blemish with no specific intention, it's kasher as an Ola. So the Gemara asks that since we see that Rav holds Lo Boy Akira, that an offering's designation does not require a conscious Akira, rather its designation changes automatically, as Rashi explains that since now it stands to be used for the purposes of an Ola, there's no need to eliminate its previous status of an Hashem, then even if the animal has not yet been consigned to grazing, it should be valid as an Ola. The Gemara answer is Gezer Lacha Kapar Atu Lifnei Kapar. It's a Gezer Drabban that if an Hashem is shechted after the owner has received Kapara, but before it's consigned to grazing, it's not fit as an Ola, because otherwise people might think it can be offered as an Ola even before the owner received Kapara. So the destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the Emurim of a Shechted Pesach with no eaters brought on the Mizbeach. While grazing Hashem on its way to be offered up as an Ola, saw the meat of an onerous Pesach being burned up immediately. Which reminds us, Rav Chissa challenges Rav's view that a carbon does not require a kira based on the Mishnah that states that if one shechted the Pesach on Shabbos and it then became known that the owners had withdrawn from it, he's not liable to bring a chatas for being Machal Shabbos. And a braisa was taught in reference to the Mishnah that if there was a case like that on a weekday, yisarif miyad, an animal should be burned immediately. Rav Chissa said that if you say that a carbon does not require a kira, then at the moment owners withdrew, it was a shlamim. And the reason for its disqualification is because of an external factor, that it was shechted after the time shalbein or bayim. If that's the case, the carbon requires a change of appearance, meaning time should pass so that the meat looks different from losing its moisture, it should not be burned immediately. The Gemara will bring a number of attempts to resolve the contradiction between Rav and the Braisa. So once again, the destructive cone who liked to crack giant ostrich eggs for no reason was dismayed when he saw the Emurim of a Shechted Pesach with no eaters brought on the Mizbeach. While grazing Hashem on its way to be offered up as an Ola, saw the meat of an onerous Pesach being burned up immediately. All right, now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Samach Tes. So the Simra Samach Tes is a chimney sweep covered in soot. So here goes. The friends of the chimney sweep who was covered in soot and Tameh were upset when they heard Hazal was not Docha Shabbos, and had to tell him that he didn't need to eat the carbon Pesach, nor bring the Chagiga. Once again in slow motion. The friends of the chimney sweep who was covered in soot. Chimney sweep covered in soot? That must be one Daf Samach Tes. The friends of the chimney sweep who was covered in soot and Tameh were upset when they heard Hazal was not Docha Shabbos, which reminds us that after Rav explained the reason that Hazal is not Docha Shabbos is it's a Gezer Hashem Yitrena Arba Amos B'Shus of Rabim, it's a decree lest one inadvertently come to take the water and transport it Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara asks the Rebbe Eliezer should let him transport it since he holds Makshiri Mitzvah Dochas HaShabbos. Preliminaries of a mitzvah are Dochas HaShabbos, and answers the Rebbe Eliezer's statements only in a situation when the person himself is fit to perform the mitzvah, and an obligation to do so therefore lies upon him. But here in the case of Hazah, where the person himself being Tameh is not presently fit for the mitzvah, the obligation to perform it doesn't lie upon him. And Rashi explains that Hazah cannot be viewed, therefore, as a makshir for the mitzvah. So the friends of the chimney sweeper who was covered in soot and Tameh were upset when they heard Hazah was not Dochas HaShabbos and had to tell him that he didn't need to eat the Karban Pesach, which reminds us, Abai challenged the above explanation for why Rabbi Yezer holds Hazah is not Dochas HaShabbos, because Rabbi Yezer holds that an Aral shalom ma'al anish karis, an Aral that does not circumcise himself in time to bring a Pesach is punished with karis. Here the person is not fit to bring the Pesach, yet we see that a chiyuv is on him to make himself fit. Rabbi answers that Hazah is primarily done to permit one to eat the Pesach, and the rule is achilas psakim l'makva, consumption of the Pesach is not essential for one to fulfill his chiyuv. Now Rav Ada Bar Abba challenged Rava that if this is so, that one in the seventh day of being a Tamei Meis brings a Pesach without Hazah, then it will result in a Pesach that was shechted shulol ochav for those unable to eat it, which should make the carbon puzzle. So Rava responded that shulol ochav is referring to people who are sick and elderly, who are actually unfit to eat the carbon, whereas in this case, he is perfectly fit, but he's just simply unprepared. So the friends of the chimney sweep, who was covered in soot and Tamei, were upset when they heard Hazah was not Dochas HaShabbos and had to tell him that he didn't need to eat the carbon Pesach nor bring the Chagiga. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Emes HaMevi Chagigima, when does one bring a Chagiga with the Pesach? Bizman Shubah B'chol B'taru B'muat. When the Pesach is brought on a weekday, impurity, referring to when the nation as a whole is taur, and when the Pesach is insufficient to fully satiate those registered on it. It's not offered when the Pesach is brought on Shabbos, when the portions are large and sufficient, and when the Pesach is brought in a state of Tumah. It's also different than the Pesach in so much that can be brought from sheep, cattle, or goats, whether male or female, and may be eaten over 2 days and one night. Daf Ein. So the Simmer Daf Ein is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The one-eyed Martian. One-eyed Martian. That must mean we're on Daf Ein. The one-eyed Martian was told that a Pesach and a Chagiga are treated the same, which reminds us that Rav once taught Techiah, his son, that Ben Tema's reason for holding that a Chagiga is like a Pesach and that it's eaten only one day and the following night is based on the Pasuk, V'lo yelin mabok zevach chag ha-Pesach, and you should not leave over the offering of the chag ha-Pesach until the morning. Zevach chag, zeh Chagiga. The words offering the chag refers to the Chagiga, ha-Pesach, zeh Pesach. The word ha-Pesach refers to the Pesach, and the end of the Pasuk states about both of them, V'lo yelin, you should not leave over. The Gemara goes on to determine that Ben Tema holds that a Chagiga is similar to the Pesach in that it needs to be eaten roasted and must come from sheep or goats. And it's inconclusive whether Ben Tema holds that mitzvah not to break a bone of the Pesach also applies to the Chagiga. So the one-eyed Martian was told that a Pesach and a Chagiga are treated the same by some guy in the south who lived with his son, which reminds us that Yehuda ben Dortai moved to the south with his son because he held the Chagiga was also Dochas HaShabbos, and since he knew that he would not be permitted to bring it, he moved to a distant place to exempt himself. Rav said that ben Dortai based his opinion on the Pasuk, "Bezavach the Pesach Hashem al kecha tzon ubakar, you shall slaughter the Pesach to Hashem, your God, flocks and cattle." Now, tzon refers to the Pesach, and bakar refers to the Chagiga, and the Pasuk implies that the Chagiga has the same din as the Pesach. Rav Ashi explained that the Pasuk can be taught according to Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avo, that since the Pesach cannot be brought from bakar, the Pasuk is coming to teach about Moser Pesach, Yeludavar Abba Min Tzon Min Bakar, the leftover Pesach, that it should be brought as a carbon that comes from all types of flocks and cattle, meaning a shlamim. Rashi explains that a leftover Pesach was one that was lost and subsequently found after another one was brought. It's offered as a shlamim, or the person was makdish money to purchase a Pesach, and then the Pesach decreased in value, so the extra money is used to purchase a shlamim. So the one-eyed Martian was told that a Pesach and a Chagiga are treated the same by some guy in the south who lived with his son, was informed by the rabbis that Chagiga is different and not Dochas HaShabbos. Which reminds us that the Gemara asks why the Rabban held that a Chagiga is not Dochas HaShabbos. It's certainly a carbon seabor in so much that it's brought en masse. Rabbi Eli said in the name of Yehuda ben Sefer that with reference to bringing the Chagiga on Sukkahs, the Pasuk states, V'chagosim oso chag l'Hashem shivas yam v'shana, and you shall celebrate it as a holiday for Hashem 7 days of the year. Now, are there only 7 days on which the Chagiga can be offered? Clearly, there are 8 days of the Chag, and yet the Pasuk leaves out one day. So from here we see that a Chagiga is not Dochas HaShabbos. Daf Ein Av. So the Simran Ein Av is a donkey going E-R. E-R, we use a donkey driver. So here goes. This simple donkey driver, that must be on Daf Ein Aleph. This simple donkey driver was disheartened when he's told the Shlamim Hishakti before Yantav could not be used for his Chagig or a Simcha, which reminds that Ula said named Rabbi Elazar that a voluntary Shlamim which one shechted Erev Yantav, if he delayed eating until the next day, he doesn't fulfill his Chiv to partake of a Shlamim Simcha, nor his Chiv to bring a Chagiga. The Gemara explains that the already shechted Shlamim cannot serve as a Shlamim Simcha, for it's written regarding the Shlamim Simcha, b'zavachta b'samachta, and you shall shech the Shlamim and rejoice, b'imin zvicha b'shas Simcha b'leika. We need the Shechita to occur at the time of Simcha, in this case it does not, for the Shlamim which is brought before the Chag. Likewise, he cannot fulfill his Chiyah for the Chagigah because Habidav Shebechova. Bechodav Shebechova ain't a Baal Minachulun. For the Chagigah is something which is mandatory, and it's a call that any mandatory offering may come only from unconsecrated property. The Gemara later brings Rabbi and reported that Rabbi Elazar said that one would fulfill his Chiyah for the Shlamim Simcha. So this simple donkey driver was disheartened when he was told the Shlamim he shechted before Yantav could not be used for his Chagigah or a Simcha. His Chagiga Emurim became possible from Lina, which reminds Rav Kahana said we learned that the Emurim, the Chagiga of the 15th, become possible Lina from the Pasuk of Lo Yalin Chelv Chagiyat Boker, nor shall the fat of my Chagiga remain all night until morning, with some Chle Reshis. And next to this phrase, in the next Pasuk, it says the word first, Reshis. By mentioning first, the Torah means to say that this morning, of which the previous Pasuk speaks, is Boker Rishon, the first morning after the Chagiga Shechted, not the second morning. So we see from here that the Emurim become puzzle at the dawn following the Shechita of the Chagiga. So this simple donkey driver was disheartened when he was told the Shlamim he shechted before Yantav could not be used for his Chagiga or Simcha. His Chagiga Emurim became puzzle from Lina, and to top it off, he was about to be Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that all other Zvachim that one shechted as a Pesach, if they're the kind of animals that are not suitable to serve as a Pesach, one is chayv achatus for shechting them on Shabbos. But if they're the kind of animals that are suitable for a Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer says one is chayv achatus, since they're not in fact a Pesach, whereas Rabbi Yeshua exempts him from achatus. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yeshua holds that a tov b'dvar mitzvah pater, one who errs and transgresses while attempting to perform a mitzvah, and who does in fact perform somewhat of a mitzvah, though not one that overrides Shabbos, is pater from achatus. In this case, the person did perform somewhat of a mitzvah, since most karbanas brought lo l'shmo are valid for their original designation. Rabbi Yezer holds Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah Chayiv, one who errs in a mitzvah is Chayiv. Dafayim Beis, so the Simfer Dafayim Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of nosher meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake to his Yavama instead of his wife. Once again, in slow motion. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of nosher meat instead of sacrificial meat. And then he brought a thick piece of cake. Thick piece of cake? That must mean we're on Daf Ayin Beis. After performing the bris on the wrong baby, which reminds us, the Gemara challenges whether Rabbi Yeshua holds that wherever the mitzvah has a kitzvah, has a limit, the person would be chayav achatas, based on a Mishnah on Shabbos, where Rabbi Yeshua holds that if one had two infants, one to circumcise on Erev Shabbos and one to circumcise on Shabbos, and the person forgot and circumcised the Erev Shabbos infant on Shabbos, he would be pater, since he was tov b'dvar mitzvah. He erred while attempting a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yami answered that at the time he circumcised the infant, there was still the Shabbos infant that preoccupied him, whereas in the case of the Tamid, it had already been offered, therefore there was no longer a mitzvah to preoccupy him. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of nosher meat instead of sacrificial meat, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon Lakish once said that if one confused the spit of nosher meat with a spit of roasted sacrificial meat, and he ate the noser, he's chayv achatas. Rashi explains that although eating kadshim is a mitzvah based on the pasuk, v'achu osam asher kupar behem, and they shall eat them, those who gained atonement through them, and the person erred while trying to perform a mitzvah, he's still chayv achatas since no mitzvah resulted. So after performing the bris on the wrong baby, the father was so distressed that he mistakenly ate from the spit of noser meat instead of sacrificial meat, and then he brought a thick piece of cake to his yavama instead of his wife. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Shimon Lakish's statement by saying that if one inadvertently had relations with his wife while she was a Nida, he's chayv achatas, whereas if he inadvertently had relations with his Yavama while she was a Nida, he's pater. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between the Yavama and his wife? In the case of the Yavama, he performs a mitzvah yibum during the act, and in the case of his wife, he also performs a mitzvah of procreation, so why then is he chayv when having relations with his wife? So the Gemara clarifies that his wife was pregnant where there is no mitzvah of procreation, even though we learn from Rava, chayv adam usameach ishto b'dvar mitzvah. If one sees that his wife desires him, he's chayv to give her joy with an additional mitzvah act. In this case, she was close to her veset, her menstrual period, when relations are forbidden. Therefore, the husband's intention could not have been to fulfill this mitzvah, and he's chayv achatas. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erev. Number 1, which stuff do you learn the source of Tchiyas Amesim from the Torah and that Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring people back to life and then heal them? That's on Daf Samaches. Good. Number two. Which stuff the owner of one shech did a Pesach on a weekday, and then it became known that the owners had withdrawn from it, it should be burned immediately. That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number three. Which stuff the Malkokas Rabbi Yosef Moshe, whether one who mistakenly brings other Kabbanas as a Pesach, which are of the same kind on Shabbos, whether it's considered a Torah B'dvar Mitzvah, that's on Daf. Ayin Aleph. Good. Number four. Which thing when the Rabbi Shua holds that in case of being mauled the heir of Shabbos baby on Shabbos, the father was a Torah B'dvar Mitzvah because he was preoccupied with the Shabbos baby. That's on Daf. Ayin Beis. Good. Number five. Which thing when why Yehuda ben Dortai held that a Chagiga is Docher Shabbos. That's on Daf. Ayin. Good. Number six. Which thing when a Shlamin Shechted Erev Yantav cannot be brought as a Shalmei Simcha or Chagiga. That's on Daf. Ayin off. Good. Number seven. Which stuff the one Rav Sheshit would review his learning every 30 days. That's on Daf. Samaches. Good. Number eight. Which stuff the one that the Amurim of the Chagiga of the 15th become puzzle with Lina. That's on Daf. Ayin off. Good. Number nine. Which stuff the one that Ashim shechted as an Ola after his owner got Kapar but before it went to graze would be fit. If not for the Gezer, it might be done before the owner got Kapar. That's on Daf. Ayin Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which stuff the one Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Makshiri Mitzvah or Docher Shabbos only when the person is fit to do the Mitzvah, but not in the case of one who requires Hazah. That's on Daf. Samach Tes. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff the one the Bracha on a rainbow on a Keshis? That's on Daf. Nun Tes and Brachas. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss using a person as a Sukkah wall? That's on Daf. Memdal and Erevin. Good. Number 3. Which stuff are we introduced to the concept of Machal Ben Drosai? That's on Daf. Chaf and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.